It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country on this Wine Wednesday. Dan Berger is here, and Tom Simino is back presenting Dave Stair from Dry Creek Vineyards. The winemaker Tim Bell is with us. Welcome, everyone.
Yo.
Hello. Welcome. Good to be here.
I love Dry Creek Vineyard. Let's start with Dave. You founded this thing. I mean, is it 1972?
Yes, 1972.
Wow. Jeez. What's your story? And tell us
the
whole story.
Well, I was raised in Boston, Massachusetts. I went to school back there. I
love that town.
Remember Boston? Let's see. The Bruins are playing tonight in the Stanley Cup.
And the Red Sox and the Patriots. Right. The only thing that hasn't done too well
Mr.
is
New
the
England
Celtics.
Here.
So should we continue the show or should we talk baseball for the next hour?
No. Let's talk wine. And the founding in 1972 of Dry Creek Vineyard. Dave?
Yeah, I moved to Cal. Actually, I got into the wine business. I lived in Germany for 2 years in the late 60s and lived right on the Rhine River. I was doing some marketing research work for a German steel firm. And most every weekend, my wife and I and my daughter, Kim, who now runs a winery, was about a four-year-old girl. We'd spend quite a bit of time in the Moselle and Rheingau area tasting wines and stuff. And I got interested in wines as a hobby over there and came back. Resettled in the Boston area in 69, and that summer took a course in wine appreciation in Boston, and the guy who taught the course became a good friend of mine. His company was our distributor and still is, even though it's been bought by a bigger company. But through my friendship with Fred Eck, this guy, I began to develop an interest in the wine business, and actually went to France in June of 1970, spent 2 weeks in Burgundy, Bordeaux, and the Loire Valley, and came up with a scatterbrained idea that what I really wanted to do for the rest of my life was somehow move back to France and get into the wine business. Well, fortunately for me and for France, an article appeared in the Wall Street Journal just after coming back from that trip, talking about what a great future California had for becoming a world-class grape-growing and wine-producing area. So as a result of that article, I forgot about France and came out to California. Moved out here in the summer of 71.
Wow.
Spent here at UC Davis as a special graduate student studying enology and viticulture. And then in essentially March of 72, while driving up down Dry Creek Valley, I spent most of my weekends at Davis over in Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino looking at property. And it became fairly quickly evident to me that the place to do what I wanted to do was northern Sonoma County, because it had a history of grape growing going back over 100 years, and land was readily available at reasonable prices. And so I concentrated my search in and around the town of Healdsburg, and then
pop that Sauve Blanc.
and essentially, in April of 72, found the property where the winery is now located.
Oh, right. So that's right there at the corner of where the Dry Creek store is.
Yes.
And that's where your winery still is today.
Yeah.
How many acres is the property itself?
We own now, the original purchase was 50 acres, and I think we own about 150 now.
Wow. Fantastic.
Cool.
In Dry Creek and some down in the area of town of Windsor. I guess it's Rush River Valley.
Tom Simino, Dan Berger's tapping on
on
the Lazy Susan. Also joining us, and by the way, California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. And the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, the prodigal son of the drive, is back with us.
Finally back.
Yeah, how's it
going? I think
wine
competition season is over, so I'm back for a little while.
You know, there's one more. It's in December, and it's mine.
Yeah, there you go. I better show up for that one.
Yeah.
So where to begin here? Tom gave me some notes. David Stair, you were the first to plant Sauvignon Blanc in Dry Creek Valley, first to produce a Fumé Blanc in Sonoma County, and so much more. I mean, wow. What an iconic status you have, sir.
I like to boast that we're the first new winery in northern Sonoma County since Prohibition that's still in business.
Uh-huh.
And there are very few wineries that existed at the time that Dave founded Dry Creek.
And when I came on the scene, there were three operating wineries in Dry Creek Valley: Pedroncelli, which is still owned by the Pedrangeli family. Fry Brothers, which is now the Gallo facility on Dry Creek Road. And, I forget the name, but it's now where Wilson Winery is located.
Uh-huh. And Tim Bell.
Chris Fredson was the winery, yeah.
Tim Bell, winemaker. Give us your history, sir. How did you get into this biz?
Well, sort of accidentally, but years ago I was living down in Southern California and went to work when I was 18 at a wine shop, and I didn't know the first thing. Well, I knew that wine existed, and that's about it. And I thought the Almaden Mountain Rhine label was pretty cool.
That was my first wine was Almaden Grenache Mountain Rosé.
All right.
Yeah,
Pagan so Pink, I think, is mine.
And the convenient 3-liter jug, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. 3 and 4 liters. So, yeah, I had to learn something about wine and just quickly got caught up in the romance and the history of wine. And, you know, kind of retrospectively sort of figured out that it was a great profession to combine, you know, my artistic and both scientific and artistic bent. And all in one. And
did you go to UC Davis or Fresno?
I did attend UC Davis, yeah. I graduated from Davis in 94 with my fermentation science degree.
Wow.
And cool. I haven't looked back.
And how long have you been at Dry Creek?
It's 8 years now, so coming up on 8 years in August. I actually started in 2011, just before harvest, and it was like the most challenging harvest of my career.
2011. Yeah, that was a nice start.
It was a great debut.
Ended up to be a vintage that gave some really wonderful wines.
Yeah,
absolutely.
With some patience.
Yeah.
Okay, 101 North Santa Rosa. It's been a horrible day on the roads out there.
Tell us about it.
But there's a backup. A mother duck and her ducklings are trying to cross the highway. Proceed with caution.
Oh, God.
That's 101 North
Santa Rosa
Avenue.
Just a
Rosa Avenue.
Okay.
Don't kill the ducks.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you that Dry Creek has been one of my faves for an awfully long time. Zinfandel and Sauvignon Blanc, you're known for. But Chenin Blanc, where did all that come from?
Well, when we started planting our vineyards in 73, we planted the Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc, and a little bit of Chardonnay, and that was it. In 72, we actually made our first wines, not at Dry Creek because we had no facility then. But I have to tell you a funny story about that. I originally wanted to build the winery at my house on West Dry Creek Road, and the Board of Zoning of the Planning Department of Sonoma County approved my permit or my application for use permit 5-0, and then my neighbors appealed to the Board of Supervisors. They didn't want a winery built on West Dry Creek Road.
This is in 72.
In 72.
Yeah. Some things never change.
Now they have 400 around.
And the guy who led the opposition, I won't mention his name, but He went around and got, he's no longer in the wine business. He went around and got several hundred of my neighbors' signatures on a petition opposing the winery. I went around and got several hundred of my neighbors, probably the same people signed both petitions, in favor of it. And then it was appealed to the Board of Supervisors. And 2 days before the hearing, I got a call from Hank Spomer, who used to be the 4th District Supervisor in Sonoma County. He said, Dave, you've created quite a ruckus in Dry Creek Valley. Can you come down and see me? And I said, sure. Do I have any choice? And so I went down and saw him, and he said, Dave, you've created a big stink up there. And I understand you own the property at the corner of Lambert Bridge and Dry Creek Road. Yes, sir, I do. Well, we're going to turn you down. We're going to overrule the Board of Zoning Adjustments. We're going to deny your use permit for West Dry Creek Road. But I'll guarantee you can build anything you want at the corner of Dry Creek and Lambert Bridge Road. And we had to live with it, and it's been the best thing that's ever happened to us. And I thank my stars that my neighbors opposed me because we couldn't have become the winery we are today on West Dry Creek Road.
Without a visible tasting room.
Yeah,
and this is close to the highway.
We have the prime spot in Dry Creek Valley, I think.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
Dan, thoughts about Dry Creek Vineyard?
It's been one of the most iconic properties in Sonoma County for decades, and everybody knows that because the Sauvignon Blanc really marked. Dave had to be visionary to understand this, but to put Sauvignon Blanc in Dry Creek is like the most perfect thing you can do. And he probably had no clue that Sauvignon Blanc and Dry Creek were married together.
Let me tell you a funny story about that. We bought the property, And I think in the spring of or summer of 72, I had Dale Good, who used to be the leading viticulturist in northern Sonoma County, the Sonoma County Farm Advisor for Grapes, come out to look at the property. I got a backhoe, and we dug a bunch of holes in the vineyard. And these guys and I jumped down into this hole and scratched around with the fingers. Yep, looks like good vineyard dirt. Yep, it's good dirt. And I said, what varieties would you plant? And they recommended Chardonnay or Napa Gamay.
Napa Gamay.
So you planted Sauvignon Blanc.
So I said, what about Sauvignon Blanc? And they said, nah, it doesn't. Nobody grows. It's a terrible variety for around here. Well, I went ahead and planted Sauvignon Blanc because it was my favorite French wine. And as it turns out, it was a wonderful guess.
Yeah, no
what
kidding.
A visionary choice. Yeah. And in particular, because that was a grape variety that was on the outs. It was so much on the outs that Robert Mondavi had to change the name from Sauvignon Blanc to Fumé Blanc
that's
to
right.
sell any of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Relative, yeah.
Well, back then, wasn't it there a sweet? It was called Sauterne, right?
It was called everything. Everybody did something with it. Lou Fulpiano told me at one point that they were making Sauterne and dry white out of the same tank.
Well, let me tell you another funny story from my beginning. I was a good friend of Barney Fetzer, who started Fetzer Winery, and one day I was having lunch with Barney, and I said, Barney, why do you call your Sauvignon Blanc Fumé Blanc? And he said, because it sells. And he told me the story that one day they were bottling out of a tank of Sauvignon Blanc. What was bottled before noon was labeled with the label Fumé Blanc. What was bottled after lunch was labeled Sauvignon Blanc. Same wine. It went into grocery stores and retail stores, and the Fumé Blanc outsold the Sauvignon Blanc 3-1.
Wow.
They then gave these same two wines to a taste panel, and the people were told the wine in glass A is Sauvignon Blanc, the wine in glass B is Fumé Blanc. Which do you prefer? Well, they preferred the Fumé Blanc 3 or 4-1.
Same wine.
when you did a triangular test, you couldn't tell them apart.
Right. That's crazy.
I said, I'm in the wine sales business, and let's call it Fumé Blanc.
Fumé Blanc it is.
Well, speaking of Sauvignon Blanc, Tim Bell, winemaker at Dry Creek Vineyard, has brought in a Sauvignon Blanc, which I've become, I'm a big Sauvignon Blanc fan. What year is this, Tim?
2018.
Yeah, 2018. I'm glad to hear that, too, because I know you like Chardonnay a lot.
Yeah,
so.
I do. But I've really, in all these years doing this segment on the show, I've really become a Sauv Blanc fan, too. So
is this a small bottling, Tim?
It's a smaller bottling than our Fumé Blanc. You know, that's been our iconic Sauvignon Blanc from the beginning. So this is a little smaller production, and one of the things that makes us different from the Fumé Blanc, well, there's a few things, but we pick it a little higher ripeness, but we use some of the Musquet clone of Sauvignon Blanc, so it's a very floral, aromatic clone of Sauvignon Blanc. But we also use a little Sauvignon Gris. It's a color mutation of Sauvignon Blanc that's used in Bordeaux sometimes, yeah.
I've heard that.
It's a Sauvignon Blanc, but it's just it gets this kind of copper gray color. It's very strange looking when you know Sauvignon Blanc.
It grows in Chile.
Yeah, you'll see them some Sauvignon Gris labeled from Chile as well.
So this Sauvignon Blanc is not the exact same as your Fumé Blanc like it was back in the days you were talking about?
Right, yeah. The Fumé Blanc used to be 100% Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, and it still is. It's just that Fumé Blanc is picked at a little bit lower ripeness, and we use only stainless steel fermentation, so cool temperature fermentation, whereas with this wine we use a small amount, like about 16-18% of barrel fermentation. But we don't use really hardly any new oak. It's basically we're using some acacia wood barrels, a little bit of chestnut wood, which is really kind of unusual. And I, after some trial and experimentation, I settled on those because they really let the aromatics of Sauvignon Blanc come forward in a way that new oak doesn't.
Tom, talk about
this. Is
the
wonderfully.
Taste
this
of
is so wonderfully delicate.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it screams Sauvignon Blanc, and I'm telling you, it screams Dry Creek Sauvignon Blanc. You know, it's almost grassy. It's grapefruity. It's got good acidity. It's lively on the palate. It's a little bit creamy. Cleanses the palate so well.
I've always been a fan of the New Zealand style, and I think our initial Fumé Blanc was sort of New Zealand style, lower sugar at harvest and a little bit lower level of alcohol.
But what differentiates this from New Zealand is that this is dry. A lot of the New Zealand wines are slightly sweet to deal with the acidity. Here the acidity is matched perfectly to the weight and the structure, and the structure is gorgeous.
Barry Herbst, your thoughts?
One of the best sellers in the store long before even I was there.
At Bottle Barn.
Every year in Harvest Fair, Chronicle Wine Competition, you know, best of class, often best white wine in the whole competition. Also, the Chenin Blanc's the real sleeper. We brought it on the show, I think, a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
We're right around $10, maybe one of the best deals in white wine in the whole store. Yeah, everything sells that they make. I just wish they made more wines.
Come on, Tim.
Yeah.
Time to add Kim is out there listening, so she'll
We make a few.
Yeah.
By the way, that Napa Gamay would have been really good in your portfolio, but that's not the story.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today, Tom Simoneau is back presenting Dave Stair, the founder in 1972 of Dry Creek Vineyard. Tim Bell, the winemaker there, is with us as well. And, of course, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. It's all brought to you by Bottle Barn. You guys got another rosé tasting. This has gone through the roof. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone's digging the rosé, and everyone's making it.
Yeah, it's usually the fastest one to sell out.
Wow.
So I want to give people a heads up. We're going to email the event notification on Friday. And it'll be at the usual spot, the Hyatt Vineyard Creek, from 5 to 7:30 on June 20th. So if people are available, tickets will be on sale Friday through Eventbrite. And there'll be an email going out to everybody on our list. $45 and 50 rosés and really good food.
50 rosés. Yeah.
At least.
Use the spit bucket.
Yeah. It usually climbs to 60 or 65 because I'm weak. I keep letting people in at the last minute.
Yeah.
But,
all right. We'll talk more about that next week as well.
Sounds
obviously
good.
Dave Stair, founder in 1972 of Dry Creek Vineyard, drycreekvineyard.com. He was the first to plant Sauvignon Blanc in the Dry Creek Valley, first to produce a Fumé Blanc in Sonoma County, and initiated the appellation status for Dry Creek Valley in 1983. Was the first to label a wine with the Dry Creek Valley appellation. Ranked among California's first proponents of Bordeaux-style blending. And I didn't know this. Tom Simoneau is here, of course. He just told me, he told me today in an email that Dave Stair was the first to release a wine using the descriptor Meritage.
Meritage, Jackson.
Yeah, I know. Everyone says Meritage.
I say Meritage.
Oh, no, come on. Merit and heritage.
Yeah.
Meritage.
Okay, and that was in 1985. That's amazing because so many people, Dave, are now using that term.
Yes, they are, yeah. I'm not sure how many are using it now.
Well, I hear it a lot. Meritage.
The Meritage Association kind of has fallen to the wayside a little bit, but the word Meritage has become synonymous with Bordeaux blends.
That whole idea was mine. Seriously, I proposed it in an article, and then Augustin Huneas from Franciscan at the time called me on the phone and he says, "How would you like to be the head of the organization?" And I said, "No, you can be the head of the organization. I'll be the consultant, unpaid."
Meritage.
Yeah. Meritage.
Yeah, and so many people, though, still say Meritage.
I know. It's okay. I used to have this thing where I would go, it's Meritage.
Yeah.
Merit and heritage.
You used to yell at me all the time.
I know.
That,
well,
right?
You know,
some things
I'm the wine
changed.
Guy. So anyway, so I finally, I kind of gave it up.
In 83, we produced a Reserve Merlot, which could have been called a Meritage had the name been around.
Mm-hmm.
It was under my label, David Stair. And Dan actually brought a bottle about a month ago to a gathering that I went to. And for an 82 Merlot or 83 Merlot, it was pretty damn good.
And 83
really
was
well.
A tough year.
Yeah,
it has held up really well.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Congratulations there.
And Barry Herbst, the wines of Dry Creek Vineyard, you got a lot of it at Bottle Barn, right?
But yeah, we stocked the two Zins, the Fumé, the Sauvignon Blanc, the Chenin Blanc, the Red Blend, and the Mariner? Or is that one and the same?
Yep.
I lose track.
Yeah, the Mariner's
a Bordeaux
blend.
Sell to us.
Yeah. The Mariner, delicious.
We're tasting a Chard now.
This is the Chardonnay. This is delightful, too. It's spicy. We were talking about not as much new French oak, but it has this wonderful spice character. Must be from the grapes.
Well, and the barrels too. I really tried to work hard to have the barrels be a, you know, add a nice little accent to the wine as well. But this is an estate bottled Chardonnay. It's a Russian River Valley vineyard.
What
DCV
year?
10. This is 2017.
2017.
We've got this right.
Lovely.
It's interesting. Yeah. We make what, about 1,000 cases of this now?
Yeah, somewhere around that.
At one time, we were making 30,000 cases of Chardonnay back in the 90s.
Really?
And when I began to pull back in the early 2000s, Kim and her husband Don decided to cut back in the production of Chardonnay because they thought we were making too many wines for distributors to really adequately represent. And so we cut the Chardonnay production from about 30,000 cases to somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 a year. And the quality has gone up tremendously.
This is your only Chardonnay?
Yes, this is our only Chardonnay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you really are a Sauvignon Blanc kind of winery, aren't you?
Yeah.
For the whites. Fantastic.
Tom, tell me about why I love this Chardonnay.
That Chardonnay? It's creamy. It's spicy. It's rich. It's not over-oaked.
And it's not overly spicy.
No. It has.
You get that hint, and it's great.
Once again, Dan always talks about this. It's balanced. It's got really good acidity to cover, you know, any of the richness that Chardonnay. Chardonnay is kind of the tofu of wine grapes. It needs to have something to pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, and it absorbs whatever you do to it.
But I hate tofu, and I love Chardonnay, so don't go there.
No, after you deal with tofu, it tastes pretty good.
Well, if you put
support what Dan just said, that balance is key. And so many wineries, I think, tend to lose sight of balance in terms of excess alcohol and excess oak. And to me, those wines that are 16% alcohol and very, very oaky, they may be great to taste a drink by itself and maybe get a little bit high on. But to have with food, they're just not very good wines.
And, you know, if you're going to spend all the time that we do as growers in our vineyards, why do you want a glass of wine when you first smell it? It smells like a 2x4.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you want to smell fruit. And you can tell when a wine is balanced just by smelling it, because you get the feeling of the acidity just in the aromatics that are coming from the glass.
You're going to hate this, but I have to do it. What's a 2x4?
What's a 2x4?
It plays the low notes in the marching band.
But a boom.
Sorry, I said you'd hate it. So, old joke.
Moving on, we're going to go to.
Wait a minute. I want to hear what Dan has to say about the Chard.
This Chardonnay is richer and more full-bodied than some, and therefore, if you're going to put it with food, put it with something that has some richness to it. This is not one of those wines that's going to go with oysters. This is going to be fabulous with lobster, with butter, and it's going to be great with
Mexican food?
No, because with the Mexicans, you've got a lot of onions, and that's going to be a little sharper than this.
Okay.
This wine is a little creamier, so you need something a little creamy to work with it. And I think, for example, if you have an a la King, so anything a la King with cream sauce, this is going to be fabulous with it.
And Barry, you have this Chardonnay bottle?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've still, I don't know if it's the exact vintage. Sometimes we're in between vintages, but we've always had the Chardonnay.
It's lovely.
Beautiful. Just hints of oak and butter.
Yeah,
really nice.
Really terrific. Terrific. Great job.
And what wine would you serve with Mexican food?
Your 1977 Fumé Blanc. We did it one
day. It'll cut through.
He calls me up. I was at the newspaper. He calls me up. He says, come on by. We're going to do a tasting of Sauvignon Blancs. And I said, how many? He said, every one I've ever made. And so we did. It was like 4 in the afternoon. So when we done with the tasting, we took the best one on the table, which was the 77. We went out for Mexican food, and it was like the most perfect match you've ever tasted in your life.
Tom.
So the new wine that we have here is this the Heritage Zin?
That's it. Yes.
And Heritage, what vintage is this?
2017.
So this is like kind of the hallmark of your Zins, right?
Yeah, it's the most widely distributed of our Zinfandels. People really know us for this wine. You know, we call it Heritage Vines because we have this unique source or cuttings that we've used in four different vineyards. From an old vine vineyard called Mazzoni, and it was a pre-prohibition vineyard, and I haven't run into very many other people that have it, so it's pretty unique, and we really love it. It's the heart of this blend. to me, it just really showcases our region. You know, you get the beautiful fruit, the nice spice that is so lovely with Zinfandel. And, you know, we used a restrained amount of new oak to really let the fruit shine in this wine.
Black raspberry aftertaste. Just a fabulous wine to go with pepperoni pizza. Mm-hmm. This is just a delicious wine. It is no pretense
great.
About it. Just an ideal wine for spicy Italian.
You're exactly right.
Retains exactly like a nice juicy quality, whereas, you know, there's so many port-like Zinfandels and like fat and viscous, heavy on the palate. This is none of that.
Nope.
Just juicy, ready to go.
It's got a nice little grip in the finish there with a little bit of tannin. Just beautiful.
And we, you know, when I'm out on the road pouring our Zinfandel for people, when I get people that don't like Zinfandel, they end up surprised they like our Zinfandels because they are less ripe, overripe, I would say. Mm. They have a lot of flavor, but they're not raisiny, and they're balanced.
What sacrifices other wines? What other wines lose is by leaving the wine with a little too much alcohol for the amount of acid that's in the wine. So here, nothing was left to chance. This wine's got enough acidity to deal with 14.8 alcohol, so you don't taste the alcohol because the acid's so good.
Yeah.
And so the balance is perfect. That means that you really should have food with it.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times people will say, especially with Zinfandel, first thing they ask is,
could we send out for a pepperoni pizza, please?
Actually, Brenda's cooking pepperoni pizza for us tonight, so
perfect.
I may have to scam this bottle to take home. But, you know, a lot of times, people just, with that overripe character, you're just killing the fruit. It's just something else. And if you have to ask, you know, what the alcohol is, you probably felt it and tasted it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, the first thing they ask is, what's the alcohol? And I say, well, what are you worrying about the alcohol for? Can you taste it? Or is it a balanced one? Are you just asking that because it's Zinfandel?
Right.
You know, because they think that I need to know what the alcohol is. And then in their mind, they'll say, oh, it's too high alcohol. I don't want to touch it. As opposed to a well-balanced wine that could be 14.8. And you don't even taste
You don't
the
taste
alcohol.
It because the acid's right there to balance off the thickness or the weight that comes from the alcohol.
And the sweetness, beautiful wine.
It's a nice really wine. Well done.
Yeah. And we have the next one is the Old Vine
version
of this. So we've got the Old Vine Zin. And, Tim, what vintage is this one? The same vintage?
2016.
So this is kind of the big brother of the Heritage, kind of.
Yeah.
When I'm tasting this, I'm feeling just a little more oomph. Maybe a little more maturity to the vines, maybe?
Yes, well, definitely more maturity. You know, we take that term old vine pretty seriously, and so we want the vineyards to be at least 50 years old, if not older, and most of these are. It's generally just a little bit bigger, richer, you know, a little bit darker kind of Zinfandel.
With the Heritage Vine Zin, I would drink the wine within the next 2 years. I wouldn't open this one for 2 years. This is just a baby. This is really ready to go.
Well, that's why I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger.
Oh, this stuff is killer. I mean, just fabulous.
Tom?
Personally, I like my Zinfandels in their youth. You know, I don't mind losing a Zin here and there, but I love this big spicy, probably a year, I'd say, and then pop it because it is, or decant it, and splash decant it. But this, that zesty, lively Zinfandel kind of wakes you up. It's like having a biting in that pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
You know, it's a spicy and rich.
But here, Osso Buco. This is much more serious wine. Osso Buco.
Mike, will you get us some Osso Buco?
Yeah, order out for that.
Yeah. Along with the pizza, please.
Yeah. And the pizza, the pepperoni pizza. Ah,
jeez. Well, this is beautiful wine.
Yeah.
And what year is this?
2016.
Yeah. And old vines. So old vine, a lot of people get confused, but that's not a term that's regulated by the government, correct?
No.
It's not. And, you know, it can be abused by some people. I mean, I always think if I see a bottle of Zinfandel that's, you know, like $12 and it says it's old vine, I'm kind of...
You wonder.
Because the yields are really so low that, you know, to make it economically feasible for the people who grow these grapes, you got to pay them more money. I mean, they're nursing these vines along in low yields, but they get some really beautiful concentrated fruit. And the vineyards just have a lot of soul to them that's really great to work with.
A lot of my friends call me Old Vine Jackson, which is better than Old Man Jackson. So you kids get off my lawn for crying out loud. Jesus. So, okay, the difference, and this is for Tom and Dan, the difference between the first one and this one.
It's just a bigger, richer wine, and it has more depth. It's almost like, what do they say? Youth is wasted on the young. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You taste the other wine, and it's almost like, okay, I can see where that is going to go. This wine is already there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the old vines tend to have a lot lower production, and I think the much lower crop level gives you a more intensely flavored berry.
I would say that Dave's comment about intensely flavored is absolutely correct. But in this case, the fine aging, the very careful aging in barrel, gave this wine a little bit more to build on. And the problem is that the wine got released about probably 6 months sooner than I would have released it. Now, this wine is really in great shape. It needs a little time. And
how long would you lay this down?
I wouldn't if I had a decanter. If I buy this wine, just throw it in a decanter for 2 hours, then you start to get what this wine's got in it.
Yeah, a little more flavor. Yeah, I agree.
And it's not because it's tannic either. I think it's more just so more of the flavors would come out.
Would open up the secondary flavors.
The tannins are managed beautifully. It's not coarse or it doesn't shut down the fruit. But
Is this available at Bottle Bar?
Yes, always.
Very cool.
We do quite well.
Somebody pour my son Nick, who just... Okay.
We have one more wine. Do we have time?
He needs the Zin.
The last wine we've got is our Bordeaux blend, so it would be a Meritage. Dave?
It's a Meritage style wine, but I don't think we call it Meritage, do we?
Well, it's Eastern Bench Meritage. Okay, yeah.
What does that mean?
Kim, my daughter, we now make, I think, three specific wines primarily for our wine club, illustrating the various regions of Dry Creek Valley. And this is eastern side of the valley. We have a Western Bench, and what's the third one?
The Lytton Springs.
Lytton Springs area.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so we focused
on... people get to taste them side by side by side.
Yes, just subsections of the valley that each have their own personality. So the Eastern Bench is kind of this alluvial fan. It's a benchland. It's uplifted soil with nicely rocky, but it just makes really elegant, I think, and voluptuous kind of Bordeaux style.
So do you
blends.
Still have room for people to sign up to get into your wine club?
Of course we do.
Oh, well, there we go. So I would assume that would be so.
For your listeners, yes.
Yes. Get online, drycreekvineyards.com, sign up for the wine club, and you get to taste some of these beautiful side-by-side varietals.
And it is drycreekvineyardsingular.com. Dry Creek. Now people are going, Dry Creek Singular. No, it's drycreekvineyard.com.
What's the price on this wine?
I believe, 40. Boy, I'm only bad, but I think it's 45.
Wow.
Yeah.
But $45.
$25 at Bottle Bar.
I don't think they give it to these guys.
$31 at Bottle Bar.
Wow. Well, and you're still getting it done, Dave. It's amazing. 1972.
Well, I should say I'm getting it done. My daughter Kim is getting it done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, but you're still hanging in.
Oh, yeah.
Getting it done.
I tell her what to do occasionally, and she says, Dad, we have it under control.
Yeah, we've already done that.
Stay out of it.
Go chill.
So happy you were able to join us today, David.
It's been my
pleasure.
Thank you very much for coming on.
It's a pleasure to meet you, man. Tim Bell is the winemaker at the Dry Creek Vineyard, drycreekvineyard.com. Great to meet you, man.
Likewise. Thanks.
And as always, thanks to Dan Berger. What do we got next week?
Bernie Orsi from Orsi Vineyards up in Dry Creek. He's making nothing but Italian varietals.
Good wines.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. It's all brought to you by Bottle Barn. And Tom Simino, we'll see you, in June?
I'll be here the end of June with Mary Edwards.
Oh, we love her.
Yeah, she's going to come on in the last Wednesday in June.
All right. I'm getting all the fingers here. We got to go.